part of it has to do with the locations. Because we come from such a wide geographical area, and because we're so small, we don't have our own space, so we're always looking for places to meet, and I think that makes it very interesting.
Welcome back to UU Expressions, Love in Real Life, a 10-episode docuseries that discovers, celebrates, and challenges how Unitarian Universalism is practiced across Canada in 2024. That was the voice of Lucy Dilkis of the Huronia Unitarian Fellowship, reflecting on how her UU expression is formed by the size and proximity of its membership. I'm Amber Belmar. In this episode, we will attempt to legitimize the creative solutions of UU expressions who are experiencing a sense of place and space in different ways, whether far from each other geographically or in terms of how ministry is practiced. How we are situated can play a huge role in strengthening relationships within our movement and beyond.
Welcome back indeed. I'm Erin Horvath, and in our last episode, we spoke about how affinity groups are one category of UU expressions that people feel drawn to and enthused by. We also shared some of our reflections about the challenges of honoring affinity groups while also growing a radically inclusive collective. In this episode, we'll delve more deeply into themes that have arisen talking to UUs who, by choice or circumstance, are exploring different ways to create UU community.
This is very timely since in the past year or so, the CUC has experienced a dramatic increase in congregations reaching out to us and each other for support in discovering what comes next for them in these changing times.
Yes, and one thing our guests today have in common is that they do not center their UU expression around the iconic church building.
Yeah, having a building is often considered a symbol of establishment and legitimacy. So not having a building can cause smaller UU expressions to feel like they are less than. But what makes a UU expression legitimate? Is it their property assets? Is it their established relationships in the greater community? Is it their connection to other expressions or the CUC itself, or a combination of all three, or something else entirely?
Well, one thing that we've learned through these interviews is no matter what assets UUs are working with, there are those that find innovative ways to express their values in the world. Meet Huronia Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, a small congregation in Ontario that's embracing the experience of being without a fixed location. Here's Lucy Dilkis, who opened the episode, explaining in her own words how their expression of UUism is nomadic and how this enhances their time together.
For a while, we were meeting at a conservation authority's office, and it was really a wonderful space that we had. We had permission to go into the building. And we would meet in their boardroom, which had lovely windows outside. And there was one time when an owl actually came to the window. There were times when we had meetings outdoors at the Conservation Authority in a gazebo. We talked about nature and about birds, and we included that into the service. Recently, we've been meeting at this art gallery. It's a small gallery, and the owner of the gallery has a room that's kind of apart from the gallery where we can shut the doors, and that's where we've been meeting. And sometimes we go into the gallery, and we have at times used the work that's in the gallery as part of our meditation or to include as part of the discussion. There was one time when the theme we chose was about the environment, and it just so happened that there was a landscape show on. During the service, we went out and we looked at the paintings, and we invited people to choose a particular painting to meditate on and then to come back and discuss. So that's some of the things that we do that's different. A couple of times where we decided to have a water service, and we met at a heritage museum that was alongside of a river. We had absolutely beautiful services there that were in nature and with nature, and we invited someone from the indigenous community to come and speak and to sing and to offer some of their teachings to us.
So it sounds like then part of it at this point is to have your locations be like an active part of your gathering.
I think it's just turned out that way. I don't know whether that kind of intention or that kind of accident is for all of the participants, or whether it's just for myself or for a few of us, where we're just very aware of the location that we're in and wanting to use it to somehow enhance whatever theme work that we're working on for the service. We're always sort of moving and adjusting depending on how many people are coming to the meetings. I'm quite happy to be nomadic. I think the idea of having a permanent base does not suit us at all. There's so few of us because we're so widespread. So in a way, the fact that we're nomadic means that we can move to the different areas. We could set up a meeting that's maybe closer to Huntsville because that's where we've got people coming from. Or we've got more people coming from Orillia, so we can move to Orillia maybe once or twice or something to have meetings there so that those people don't have to travel. It takes a lot of pressure off if we don't have our own space that we have to deal with. We don't have the money for it. We're finding it difficult enough with just the few of us to keep the fellowship going, you know, in terms of administration. We have a board and that's enough for us. I really like the opportunity to be in these different spaces. They kind of allow for opportunities for different things to come up and sometimes to connect with different kinds of communities. Whenever we're at these different places, we're making donations to them to pay for the space. It always helps the community where we're gathering for our own services.
What a creative and interesting way to meet.
It is, right? The term nomadic Unitarian Universalism emerged as I was listening to Lucy share how place influenced and enhanced their gatherings. You know, they might engage with art, meditation, discussion, nature, or something else, depending on what the context calls for, all while keeping the hallmarks of classical UUism, such as the chalice, joys and sorrows, the principles, and the songs. We'll come back to Lucy and the concept of nomadic UUism, but first let's talk with UUs of the Salish Sea, another group that also doesn't have a building. Their leadership is considering the benefits of treating UU resources as collectively owned and co-creating UU spaces that together provide a geographical area with various ways they can engage with UUism. Here's Catherine Strickland replying to my question about how the CUC could support them, which then merged into a larger conversation about regional hubs.
One of the things that maybe the CUC can provide leadership or creativity around is this kind of idea of like sharing ministers and like, what would that look like? And how would you resource that? And even spaces like, you know, and part of the reality in Vancouver for us is that there's no way on earth we're ever going to be able to afford to have our own building. That's multi-millions of dollars. We have these physical buildings, two of them, I guess, and maybe the only one. I think the other congregations rent space. How do we utilize that for the broader movement? I don't know whether it's leadership again, or even starting the conversations around this sort of regionality, sharing of resources, these multi-expressions, the idea that being a faith that welcomes diversity means this diverse expression of what that looks like and supporting that, and how to expand the vision that those resources serve all of Unitarianism and all of its expressions, as opposed to how they might traditionally think about membership and who gets access. And then the other kind of like more the basic level, is there an opportunity for sharing of admin staff? And I do think that we're, you know, as I mentioned, people like Kirsten Moore and Sean and others who have these kind of like formalized positions and are therefore a really important resource to the wider UU faith in the region. I think they're really starting to understand and expand their vision of who they serve and recognize the value of that being more of a collective resource as opposed to housed at UCD. So what would that functionally look like for any expression of Unitarianism that needed to or wanted to access admin support or religious education support or ministry support or whatever?
The idea of sharing resources makes particular sense given that some UUs in the Lower Mainland of British Columbia are involved in more than one UU expression, a wonderful perk of having a cluster within a relatively close geographical distance. Here's Catherine again explaining how people are engaging on a regional level.
We have youth and children who are parts of multiple congregations right now. They're engaged in certain things in certain congregations. They're engaged with us. And this is one of the exciting pieces to me, because in the Lower Mainland, we have now five different UU communities, only one of which has a minister at the moment. And there's a lot of interconnection happening. I'm currently on the healthy relations team at the Unitarian Church of Vancouver. So I interact quite a bit with that team and also in other groups there. There's other of UUs of the Salish Sea that are attending some of the services at UCV. There's a wider IBPOC plus allies group that draws from all of the congregations in the Lower Mainland. So to me, that's kind of an exciting piece, is shedding a little bit this idea of being a member of a congregation and evolving and expanding our idea of how we are as a Unitarian geographically connected group, and where does it make sense to be more purposeful in our interconnections and sharing of resources, and even like which congregations have what strengths. For example, where would you house your OWL program? Where would that make sense for that to be kept? And to me, this is one of the really exciting pieces that I think is starting to emerge and has support from people certainly at UCV and to some degree at some of the other congregations.
Not viewing UU life as congregation specific, but region wide, is such a practical and energizing innovation. All sorts of collaborations could spring from embracing collective co-creativity, not to mention UU community pride, if this framework were to become a reality.
Right, and the load of each expression could be decreased by sharing the costs of space, administration, technology, ministers, religious educators, youth and young adult programming, and other types of support that are currently placed on the shoulders of one group. Remember the Inquiring Souls group that Catherine and Robin talked about in episode 3? Well, it's not only multi-generational, but also a multi-location program.
So Jessica and Bill are hosting that for youth. And again, this is where the lines of like which congregation you're talking about get a bit blurred, because they're youth from certainly North Shore and UUs of the Salish Sea, possibly also Unitarian Church of Vancouver.
UUs of the Salish Sea are thinking in terms of energy, passion, and not creating a thing that will require more than they have to sustain themselves. As they put it,
we didn't want to burn out.
And they aren't alone. When it comes to Lucy from Huronia Fellowship, she also lamented the challenges of organizing that are falling on a small group of them.
Because we're so small, and I had mentioned we have a hard time just keeping up with administrative duties and the board. The 5 or 6 or 7 people that are regulars are also the same people that are on the board and the same people that are facilitating the meetings and the same people that are constantly in communication. It feels tedious. Sometimes it feels a little bit overwhelming. We all have lives. And so sometimes it just feels hard. The people that have been on the board for years, and we can't really change it because there's nobody else to replace them with. It would be less of a burden if we weren't part of the CUC, but that's not something we want to do. We don't want to disassociate ourselves, and you know, that would certainly eliminate our need for administration, but we don't want to do that. I think maybe there are some things that we do just because we want to be connected. I'm curious about how geographically, what the regions would be. It would be nice to connect to a larger community as well. Opportunity to meet again with more UUs. I think that could be really interesting.
That's a great example of the willingness that we've been hearing about from congregational life leads, Reverend Linda Thompson and Reverend Ann Barker. They've been hosting these online congregational conversations to help foster connection and creative problem solving across regional borders. And what they tell us is that as the tides change, congregations are opening to the possibility of doing things very differently than they have in the past.
Perhaps not with every congregation, but with many. And when it comes to Huronia and likely other UU communities, they are spending more time organizing than they prefer. And that's no fun at all.
Yeah, imagine how freed up they'd be to pour themselves into developing their vision if they were connected to a regional hub with less administrative work, for instance. I bet this nomadic expression of UUism could become a pretty popular model.
After our formal interview, Lucy and I were imagining out loud what would happen if they intentionally selected community groups to build relationships with while meeting in their space. So this is kind of an interesting alternative with vision and passion put into, you're not just choosing any old space. It sounds like you've had the art gallery and the conservation authorities and other religious community or whatever, right? These are interesting things to me. You're creating events and the events have an overlap interest and then you engage whoever wants to be engaged. Another option would be other nomadic UU expressions.
Right.
Like that expression becomes a thing, right? And so then now these groups that are also nomadic UUs create some sort of a board or whatever it is, right, to make life easier. And so then it doesn't matter. You can be from all across the country, but then you have these connections. And this is where, you know, trying to do an inventory of what's already happening to know how many other groups are there like yours. And maybe there's some people that are meeting in not congregational buildings, like not church buildings, but haven't really thought about it as being a ministry or as being an expression or whatever terms that they put, but to be in a community engaged, nomadic expression. The community developer in me, I see like only possibilities when I look at something like that, because I highly value community connections and the benefits that happen when you spend your time really understanding someone else's world, and that, you know, you could end up being a group of people who end up knowing a lot about the local community and have like these really deep, meaningful connections. And maybe the collective expression looks more like once a year inviting all of these people that you've made connections with to come and have a shared potluck meal in your whatever shared space. You have 50 people or more people, right? These are all the different groups that you've chosen to intentionally connect with over the years. And then you facilitate a social gathering where the congregational folks are meeting up with the Heritage Museum people who are meeting up with the, you know, women's group collective that started their craft thing on Front Street, and, you know, all the different things that you become connected with.
We're always hoping to reach more people. We do have some new members. One member that actually came from another congregation from across Canada, they've moved. So it's not like we're bringing in some new people to UU. We always believe that there are people out there that are in their hearts UUs and hoping that we can connect with them and bring them in to join us.
One thing that I would say coming out of this conversation with the nomadic UU expression, a possibility is not necessarily trying to bring in more UUs as much as it is that idea of your group connecting with these various aspects of the community intentionally. And depending on how you do it, you might stay 3 months in one spot, but then deeply engage with the people in that organization or whatever, right? And then, like I said, if you bring people together, then it's almost like when they are connecting with you, they're connecting with this vision of the communities being interwoven. This idea that we all are interconnected, one of the UU values, it's a way of bringing that value to life. So you're not just bringing like-minded people, same people together to be UUs in this one way, as much as it is saying we are interconnected. Let's find our interconnection together. So this idea of let's find our interconnections, like, yes, if that became your practice of how you brought your UU values to life, was to say, it doesn't matter if this is like, we're going to meet with the war veterans type thing, people with PTSD, we're going to meet in this reserve, we're going to meet in this conservation area, we're going to meet with these women who are domestic violence survivors and are using such and such a thing to whatever, right? Those are your four groups for the year. And then you become the center spoke.
Yes.
And then you're connecting and actually creating what's called social capital for those different groups.
Right.
So you might choose on purpose, like an intersection of folks that when you end up connecting them and that you bring them into your world, now their world's richer because a group that maybe has very little is connected with a group that has maybe more. Or, you know, a group that has something to express is connected with a group of artists to express it. To me, it's like, that could be, if fleshed out a little bit more, something that becomes a nomadic UU expression. This is what it looks like. And if you join in this for the year, you will be having this experience of being connected with four different parts of our area, mm-hmm, and learning and being and whatever. Like, I would sign up for that. Shoot, that sounds fantastic.
I'm actually really excited about it. Thinking about our nomadic approach, I don't think we ever quite looked at spaces that we go to intentionally.
And I do think that when you talk about community outreach, that's an example of where you could have for a time or forever, whatever it is,
people coming on board because they too have helped shape who these four will be and they're invested in it. And so it could be a totally not currently a UU person. That would become irrelevant. You might have 15 additional people come on board to have the experience of learning and talking about it. And then when you're meeting, you're not just necessarily meeting in someone's space, but you're hearing from them and you're building relationships. And then say you're meeting on a reserve, right? And you start to build connections, relationships intentionally. Then if you do it so it's not too far away, then you might also invite those people to come and be with you when you meet with the next group. And then you start to create this collection of people as opposed to only seeing yourselves to go connect with them.
This idea of the regional hubs, that's really cool. And that could be really helpful.
I get goosebumps discovering all the potential there. Being a nomadic UU could be a really impactful thing.
Yeah, and not in spite of being buildingless, but because of being buildingless.
So this hypothetical example would not only have the load lightened by sharing between different UU expressions, but by collaborating with other organizations and groups within the geographical area where UUs live, regardless of whether there is a congregational building or not.
And the types of doors that could open in terms of opportunities to co-create greater impact with less effort are likely far greater than we could dream up in advance. This idea of making intentional connection within communities can be really exciting for those who choose to keep their buildings too. Besides renting to outside groups, which many are already doing, intentional collaborations could open the door to co-creating new expressions of service to communities using the UU buildings as a community resource.
Earlier, we discussed how having a building has a legitimizing effect. I imagine that some people may need to release that concept in order to embrace all the creative possibilities that can exist with or without the building.
I agree. And a lot of what we've been hearing in these interviews has to do with finding ways to recognize and legitimize all the various authentic expressions of UUism, which certainly extends past church buildings and ministers. Specifically, some community ministers we interviewed expressed that being buildingless tends to result in them being viewed as less legitimate. And Janet Pivnik, who is training to be a community-based minister, is deeply reflective about authentic expression. Her heart's calling combines ecology with spirituality, and so she sees her ideal church as nature, not a building.
I'm Jewish by birth, and I was raised in a secular home, so I never felt a strong connection to Judaism other than there's a cultural basis to the religion. As I've been in seminary and exploring ministry and taking all kinds of wonderful courses, I'm recognizing how Jewish I am in the way I see the world, even though the actual religion is not necessarily my belief system. So that's one part. What actually led me to considering ministry, I've done environmental work most of my life, and at a certain point, I recognized that I'd actually always been doing spiritual work. And because I don't come from a religious background, I didn't have that frame for it. I'd never thought of it that way. But it became apparent that the work I was doing was a little bit outside of the environmental mainstream, that actually I'd been doing spiritual work for most of my life. I'm really rooted in deep ecology and seeing myself as part of the interdependent web, to go with our seventh principle. I'd really like to combine my environmental past with my Unitarian ministry future. And so what I envision down the road is some kind of community ministry that helps people connect with nature as a way to connect with spirituality. One of my jobs many years ago when I was in my 20s was working at outdoor schools and taking kids on nature walks so that they could learn about ecology. And so I could see doing something similar to that, but helping people to connect to spirit and to themselves. So that's kind of, you know, one aspect of it. There's another part of that is we're facing pretty major environmental crises. And I work at a university and the students are in despair. So how do we support that? And from a pastoral perspective, how do we help people to deal with the situation that we're in and not just shut down? As I'm in formation, recognizing the shift I need to go through from being a change agent to being a minister, minister because my entire life has been about supporting change. And as a minister, there's a very different lens that you take to that because it is about supporting the people. It's not about supporting the cause. So that's something I'm really grappling with personally, is being with people where they are, supporting that. I used to think of it as midwife change. To me, it's always been really important to do that work from a place of compassion, but still it's about the change as opposed to about the people. And so I'm taking on a new identity.
When you speak, what comes to my mind is it's almost like different doors to the same issue. But for some people, they'll meet you at the door of activism, and others will meet you at the door of like literally immersing themselves in nature. And some will meet you at the door of their heart and soul. And then some will meet you at the door of their mind. And so all those different places are, in my view anyway, places that are kind of like the entry point, but they're all connected. So to me, fine, come through the heart doorway, but we're going to engage all parts of you anyway, right? And it's just figuring out how to balance all of that. That seems to be such a fun thing for those of us who have layers to the work that we do.
There's a million ways to get there.
People don't become ministers out of the blue. It's a calling to be in service to this faith community. And it was clear in those that we spoke to that they do not take this lightly. UU ministers, including community-based ministers, have expressed gratitude and appreciation for the work they do and the affirmations they receive from fellow UUs. Now, having said that, when I encouraged feedback about how it felt to be a community-based minister, some expressed feeling left out and not supported within the current structure. Wendy Luella Perkins is just one community-based minister we interviewed who expressed feeling this way. She's the founder of Soulful Singing. We are including her words here as an example because she shared her feelings using an image we found particularly helpful.
I feel like an electron that's very, very far away from the nucleus. We have these community ministers that are actually adding a lot of value to our Unitarian Universalist movement, and yet there's no structure to really support them unless I'm hustling. I'm writing grants, I'm making those asks, but there's not a structure to say, oh, we have four great community ministers in Canada. Maybe we're going to invest in them every year. We're going to actually put a number and send some money their way, or there's going to be an offering or some way to support those ministries. It doesn't currently exist. I end up feeling a bit like a free-floating agent out there. Free-floating. I am connected to the Kingston Unitarian Fellowship, and I have a good relationship with Beckett, the minister there.
So it sounds like there is definitely an opportunity there for community ministers to have some sense of, first of all, acknowledgement that it's a real and valid expression of UUism. And in some of what she's saying, it's almost challenging us to imagine that it might be even more relevant for some people than the congregational expression that takes place within a typical church building. It's not to say that the congregational expression isn't valuable to those who choose to engage that way, but for anyone who doesn't choose to engage that way, like UU ministers or lay chaplains or other UUs doing various things like social enterprise, community engaged activities, and these sorts of things, it may certainly not be the only expression of UUism they value. It's important to note that there is a difference between being relationally supportive and structurally supportive. When we talk about removing barriers to full inclusion, it involves looking at how we can structure ourselves so that various expressions of UUism have the resources they need to thrive.
And because these interviews were meant to give us insight about how UUism might be structured into the future, I asked all of our interviewees what support, if any, is missing. And Wendy Luella's responses captured the essence of what we heard from community-based ministers. She offered one more practical suggestion.
There is the recognition part, because the CUC puts out something every week or every month. Here are some of our community ministries, and this is what they're doing, and we commend you to check them out and support them. That is a tangible thing, because the CUC has connections to all these congregations and to individuals within the congregation. There's that simple lateral promotion.
Wendy Luella brought up some valuable points related to the sustainability of her work and the work of other community ministers, and we've created an episode dedicated to this important topic. But for now, it leaves us asking,
What potential is there for growth if we can find a way to legitimize and support all ministers and the people they minister to? Because anyone who is not a part of a congregation are not considered or counted as UUs in Canada, including the ministers themselves and even CUC staff who are not a part of a congregation.
That feels like a huge oversight.
Yes, and back when the structure was formed, it likely made perfect sense and wasn't exclusionary. And it seems obvious now that UUism has evolved to have expressions that are not just congregationally affiliated. Fortunately, like all things in life, change is inevitable, and there's an opportunity now to adapt.
Okay, and how do we do that?
Janet answered that very succinctly.
I think the way forward is to honor who we all are, and I think Unitarianism is actually a fantastic place to do that.
And what could that mean? As we consider this episode where we've explored whether or not to have a building, the idea of regional hubs, nomadic UUism, and the experiences of community ministers.
The instinct to be curious and ask questions is key. We add in the courage to imagine answers, then I think we're well on our way.
The digital developer in me is asking so many questions. How could the CUC create another avenue for membership that isn't a congregation? Would it be possible and helpful for the CUC to create regional hubs? If so, how would that work? What type of online space would have enough value that people would join as individuals or organizations? What would it contain? How could the CUC and members bring to life UU values in ways that meet our needs, community needs, and make our hearts sing?
All really great questions that could lead to so many great rabbit holes for exploration. Our next episode will get those creative juices flowing even more as we talk with people who are exploring community engaged projects and social enterprises.
Let's go!